Have you heard of maternal bovine appeasing substance? Welcome to Have You Heard. My name is Dr. Fred Gingrich. I'm the executive director of AABP. Today we are joined by Dr. Ronaldo Cook, who is a professor for beef cattle research at Texas A&M University Animal Sciences Department. Cook and his colleagues recently published a paper in Volume 57, Issue 2 of the Bovine Practitioner titled Effect of Maternal Bovine Appeasing Substance on Health and Performance of Pre-Weaned Dairy Calves. This is new technology that bovine veterinarians can consider incorporating into their clients' operations during stressful events. Stay tuned for more information. Welcome to our show, Ronaldo. Please introduce yourself for our listeners.
Hey, guys. My name is Ronaldo Cook. I'm a professor at Texas A&M University in Animal Sciences, and it's a pleasure to talk to you guys about the publication and the technology of the maternal bovine appeasing substance.
Wonderful. Well, I'm really looking forward to this podcast. This new product has certainly had a lot of questions from veterinarians, and so I'd really pleased that this paper was submitted to the bovine practitioner. We'll include a link to the paper in our show notes, and I would encourage our listeners to read that paper and review it. But let's start off, Ronaldo, and just level set our listeners and say, what are pheromones and what role do they play?
The classical definition of pheromones are chemical signs that some animals use to communicate with each other. For us in the bovine area, we think about pheromones more specifically on reproduction, as bulls can scent cows in heat, things like that. A more specific definition of pheromones are substances in which are secreted to the outside by an animal and are received by a second individual of the same species. So a way to communicate between animals in a manner that you can stimulate reproductive behavior, social behaviors, things like that.
This paper is about maternal bovine appeasing pheromone. And why don't you tell us, what is that particular substance and has it been studied previously?
Yeah, so the appeasing pheromone is naturally produced by the mammary gland of females when they're lactating. Okay, so across all mammals, when females are lactating, from swine to horses and women, that pheromone is produced by the mammary gland. And it has a appeasing effect on that offspring, so a calming effect on that offspring. So that's a way of the mom communicating with the offspring, saying, hey, I'm here, I'm taking care of you. And that gives that appeasing effect on the offspring. And the maternal bovine appeasing substance is the analog of that pheromone. About 10, 20 years ago, researchers in Europe were able to isolate the maternal pheromone from the mammary gland and then replicate that pheromone using natural ingredients, using fatty acids, and then come up with this analog of the pheromone that we now term the maternal bovine appeasing substance. So it's basically an analog of the natural pheromone produced by the mammary gland of lactating females.
So the title of this paper is Effect of Maternal Bovine Appeasing Substance, which we abbreviate MBAS, on health and performance of pre-weaned dairy calves. So walk us through, what were the objectives of this study, Ronaldo?
One of the main stressors when we think about dairy and beef cattle production is the separation between calves and their dams. Probably the lowest hanging fruit when we thought about this technology was to apply at calves when they're separated from their moms, either on dairy calves at the very early stages of their lives or beef cattle at the time of weaning at 7 months of age. So this appeasing substance, what it does is alleviates the perception of stress. The calves, they know they're being separated from their dams, but by providing that appeasing effect, we hypothesize that the animals wouldn't be exposed to such a physiological stress consequence caused by the stress of separation, which then would alleviate some of the health and growth problems that we see when animals are experiencing high stress.
And it is very much certainly a important topic for us in both the dairy and beef industry. Cow-calf separation in the dairy industry is certainly being discussed in our industry. And of course, low stress weaning is certainly also very important for the beef industry. So this is a really important paper, in my opinion. I'd like you to walk us through the study design, such as where did this study take place and how did they manage the newborn calves on the study?
So I encourage the listeners to read the paper for all the details. I'm not going to go over every single experimental detail, but this was done at a commercial dairy farm in the northeastern part of the U.S. Calves on this large dairy operation, they were assigned to receive yes or no controls, the MBS at the time of when they were about 1 day of age. So as soon as they were born, 1 day of age, they received that first application and they received booster doses every 14 days of age until they were weaned at 60 days of life. Day one of life, every 14 days until complete weaning at 60 days of age. And then we gave another booster dose when we moved them from hutches to collective pens when they were about 700 days of age. Throughout that transition period, when calves are separated from their dams at the very early stage of their lives, and then when they were transitioned from a total milk diet to a more concentrate diet, and then when we transitioned them from individual hutches to collective pens. So all those procedures are stressful to them. Any change in management is perceived by them as a stressor. So that appeasing substance, our hypothesis was, would alleviate the stress consequences on that animal. And with that, we would have better health and growth on those calves. So half of those animals, about 205, received the treatment. And then we had another group of 205 calves that did not receive the treatment. Okay.
And so you had those two groups. First question, Ronaldo, how is the product administered? You said it was boosted. What's the actual application process?
Good point. So for calves at that specific age, dairy calves, the recommended dose is 5 mL of the product. Half, so 2.5 mL is applied in that nuchal area of the head. So just behind the horns, just behind the pole. In that little cavity is just behind the pole. And the reason for that is in that area, the animal has, you know, sebaceous glands that basically absorb the MBS. And as the animal naturally produces oil back to the skin, it releases that product back to the environment. So animal smells it for about 14 days. Okay. So that area is important to hit because it gives that 14, 15 day active period. But we also apply 2.5 mL above the muzzle just so the animals can start smelling that right away. So 2.5 in above the muzzle, 2.5 in that nuchal area, so we can get a immediate effect and also a more prolonged effect.
And you had your control group. Did they receive a placebo or did they just get nothing?
Not in this study. They didn't get anything.
Okay. And what about blinding? Was it the farm personnel that administered the treatments or was it the investigators? And were they blinded at all?
Investigators applied the treatments and the dairy farm personnel were blinded to treatments.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And they were the ones doing all the health and growth measurements.
Okay.
The farm personnel.
Okay. And those are some outcomes that you evaluated. Talk us about what outcomes were measured and what independent variables were measured in your study?
Yeah, mostly health, incidence of health, treatments such as diarrhea and bovine respiratory disease. We also measured body weight development as those animals transitioned from the individual pens to the collective pens. And just general results, we saw that the animals that received the MBAS, they had less diarrhea compared to the controls, such as, I think if you go to the paper, it's 70%, 71% for the controls, 58.6 for the treatment for the treated calves. And the risk of mortality also decreased substantially from 7.8% from controls to 2.4% of treatments. With that, healthier animals, less stress, that translated into a greater body weight gain on the treated calves about 7 days after they were moved from the hutches to the collective pens. So in general, application of that product decreases the stress associated with that period of the calves' lives in terms of the changes in management. So less stress, more nutrients are available for growth, less nutrients being drained to support inflammatory or health processes. So with that, you have animals growing healthier and stronger.
And is that's really interesting results, Ronaldo, that the animals had higher weight gain, less diarrhea, and lower mortality. What is the hypothesis? Is it just stress, reduction of stress is the hypothesis that improves the weight gain and lowers morbidity and mortality in these treated calves?
That's the beginning of the cascade of effects that this technology brings to cattle. So this is a very applied paper. This is a very simple study that we ran on this dairy operation. We have more than 10 published studies on using this technology to beef calves, which is my area of expertise. It's beef cattle production. And on those studies, we measure a plethora of biological responses from acute phase response to antibody response or antibody production to vaccination. And across all those studies, we see less cortisol concentrations in cattle that receive the treatment, either in the plasma or in the saliva or in the hair from the tail switch as a measurement of chronic stress. Animals that receive the treatment at weaning, beef calves, they have better response to BRD vaccines during that preconditioning program. So this study is very applied, just showing the benefits to health and growth. But we have plenty of data that characterizes the biological benefits of this technology to cattle under stressful conditions.
That's really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about what do you think, and I agree this is an incredibly practical paper, which is our focus for the bovine practitioners, practical information into the hands of dairy veterinarians and beef veterinarians. What are some ways that veterinarians that are listening to this podcast might apply that to both dairy farms as well as cow-calf operations or even maybe feedlots? Where do you see the future of this product being used in the field?
So I'm going to base my response on the research
Great.
We have conducted and that we saw benefits, and it's all published in the literature in this journal or other journals available for the people can read those papers. And for the dairy industry, this is the area that we focus for now, young calves, okay? Right after birth, during that transition from the 100% milk diet to addition of concentrate, then as they transition from individual hutches to collective pens. Again, not my major area of work, but it's all under the same biological rationale of stress mitigation. Now, for beef cattle, which is 90% of the work I've done with this substance, I have three or four published studies that when we apply at weaning, okay, it can be Bos Taurus calves, it can be Bos Indicus calves, it can be crossbreds, F1s, weaning at 7 months of age, for that 45-day period after weaning, we see a 0.4-pound increase in average daily gain, okay? And we back that up by plenty of biological measurements, like I said before, such as cortisol concentrations, lessened acute phase response caused by weaning, better response to vaccination, better temperament. Animals are less flighty when they receive this product, which then translates into less agitation and more nutrients being available for growth. So for calves at weaning, it's a no-brainer because you see that benefit for the next 45 days after weaning, which is probably one of the most stressful periods in the beef calves. That was my first area of research. That was the low-hanging fruit when I got introduced to this concept. Let's try that on calves at weaning, okay, beef calves. Then we move to high-risk receiving cattle in receiving yards, okay? Feedlot calves, high-risk, as we see in the industry very often. And first approach was to apply as those high-stress, high-risk cattle were arriving in receiving yards. And we saw the same thing, less cortisol, better disposition, more gain, about 0.4 pounds a day, because better efficiency. And also, we didn't see a change in morbidity. But we did see that animals that received the treatment required less antibiotic treatments to recover from BRD than the control animals. And all those studies We did have the treated cattle receiving the analog of the appeasing pheromone, and the controls received the placebo. Okay, on those studies, they all have placebo as control treatments. So for high-risk receiving cattle, what we see is better response in terms of gain because of improved feed efficiency and also less treatments, less antibiotic treatments to recover from BRD. The last study that we ran, I don't have that data published yet, but we're seeing also major drop in mortality on calves that got sick. So control calves, I think I had about 18% mortality to BRD. Treated calves, it was only 3%. By giving that technology, reducing the stress, the animal's immune system is stronger to fight the disease. That's why we need less antibiotic treatments, and also mortality is being dropped substantially. The last area of application that we're studying, and that's very exciting to me, and the feedlot operations that I visit, they get very excited too, is application as those animals are loaded to go to the packing plant. Because the whole process, we're talking about fat cattle, 1,400, 1,500 pounds, and the process of handling them, sorting them, loading to a truck, going to the packing plant, waiting there for a few hours or maybe overnight, and that slaughtered the next day is also a major source of stress. And if we apply that technology substance before they're shipped to the packing plant, and we know that cortisol breaks down body tissues such as muscle tissues and fat tissues to support that flight or fight response. By applying the product, we're seeing less cortisol concentrations during that period as well, which then translates into greater carcass yield. So we're seeing 1% point or to 1.5 percentage point increase in carcass yield, such as 63% to 64.5. So that means about 20 pounds more carcass on animals that are getting the technology before they're shipped to the packing plant. That data we have, it's brand new. We're presenting on conferences right now, but it gives me on the dairy side and the beef side some key periods that this technology is hugely beneficial to dairy and beef producers.
That's really fascinating. And I think all veterinarians can really support better care for our animals, decreasing stress, really appreciate citing those publications, Ronaldo. Let's talk a little bit about economics, because a lot of producers, that sometimes is a stumbling block when veterinarians are trying to incorporate this. Was there economic analysis done in some of those studies? You have your average daily gain. It wasn't done, I don't think, in the bovine practitioner paper, but what are your thoughts on veterinarians having discussions with producers about the economic benefit that they will see?
Okay, so just a very simple conversation here without diving too much into economics. But when we do simple return on investment calculations, simple ROIs, we see from 20 to 1 to 30 to 1 ROI. Meaning what? Let's make a simple calculation here. If we're getting, if we apply at calves are being shipped to the packing plant, we get 15 pounds more carcass times 2, that's $30 more of return. So if we're getting $30, but the cost of the product is $3, that's 10 to 1. It's a 10 to 1 ROI, okay, within 3 days. Because you apply on day minus 3, you see the benefits right after those animals are harvested or slaughtered. So that's an example. When we talk about decreasing mortality to BRD, that ROI goes 30 to 1 because we're losing way less animals. So in every single study, I try to focus more on the biology of the results. But when I give talks or when I visit feed yards or receiving yards, we go over ROIs and they're always impressive because we're talking about a $3 expense to $30, $40, $50 return.
And for our listeners that are not familiar with the product, Ronaldo, is the dose of the product based upon the weight of the animal, or is it just a routine dose for all ages and sizes?
So again, this is a fairly new technology, mm-hmm. especially in cattle. We still have a lot to learn from this. The approach that we're taking right now is for calves that are less than 200 pounds, such as dairy calves right after birth. It's a five mL dose, 2.5 in each site. Now, if we go to beef calves, 500 pounds, all the way to fat cattle, 1,500 pounds, it's 10 mL, okay? 5 in the nuchal area, 5 in the muzzle. We still haven't done the research comparing dosages. This is something that we'll do. Right now, we're just focusing on the biological benefits of this technology. That if you guys read the paper that's on the Bovine Practitioner, that there's at least 4 or 5 citations there from the other work we've done that's published too. Just check it out because it's just part of all the studies that we've been doing so far in this subject.
Yes, great tip. Make sure to also look at the citations in the paper that's in the Bovine Practitioner to see the work from that's also been done on this product. I always like to ask investigators, Ronaldo, what limitations did you identify in the study that was published in the Bovine Practitioner?
The lack of a placebo treatment that on a commercial operation, you cannot control everything.
Yep.
So we can't ask for the dairy farm to do one more thing that in a research setup we would like to do. On this study, we are not collecting samples as we've done on the other studies to support, to show the biological mechanisms by which we saw an increase in health and growth. I wish we had the chance to do that, but again, it's a dairy operation. We are limited to what we can do. But even though we haven't done that, we have other studies that characterize very well those biological benefits of the maternal bovine appeasing substance to animals under stressful conditions.
And as we wrap up here, Ronaldo, let's talk about, you have done several publications on this product. What are you looking for in the future? Where do you see some future research opportunities for MBAS and cattle?
The receptors for this appeasing substance, they appear to be active throughout the animal's life because we're seeing benefits at calves that are 1 day of age all the way to animals that are 18 to 24, almost 36 months of age. Because we've done work with feedlot cattle, Bos indicus cattle that are killed a little older than Bos taurus feedlot cattle. So at any time that there is a introduction of a stressful situation on that animal's life, especially if it comes from management, that product has benefits, okay? Because stress is perceived basically the same way, it's the same cascade, independently of the stress source. So anyway, any chance or at any situation where stress is involved, this product's beneficial. Now, I think my first approach on this was to go into the cow-calf weaning period, receiving yards, and then finishing cattle. Dairy is also, we focus on the dairy calves. I think now one of the next approaches is for the females, okay? Dairy cows at calving apply to the dairy cow herself because, again, even though she might be 3, 4, 5 years old, she still has receptors on the voronomasal organ. Sorry if I killed that. But the receptors are still active. And the same thing for beef cows, especially on cows that are going through estrus synchronization protocol or embryo transfer protocols that they have to be handled several times. And that's probably a time where the use of this product can mitigate the stress of handling and gives us better conception rates, for instance. So this is some of the next steps we're going to take about the application of this product. So let's say that we increase the cost by $3 of the sync protocol, or maybe $2 depending on the dose that we use. But then if you have or preg rates go from 55 to 62%, that's probably very beneficial in terms of return on investment.
It's very interesting. I always like to read about these new technologies. I really appreciate your team submitting this paper to the Bovine Practitioner. Once again, would encourage our listeners to look at the show notes, read the paper, and also read some of those citations that Ronaldo mentioned in his podcast here with us today. So I really appreciate taking the time today, Ronaldo, to talk to our listeners about this publication.